You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia in his daddy's number! There's the reply. Barry and Fahad. History made.
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belter.
But they put a hat trick.
Crash this shit and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milverton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of In That Number. This is episode number 133. Title, Mush.
We're going with The Mike Dean Show.
Okay, but the real title, Mush,
is Dismayed in Chelsea.
Dismayed in Chelsea, yes. Today, we have to chat over our trip to Stamford Bridge on Saturday afternoon, and we'll preview our visit of Leeds United after the international break. Tim will be joining us to help us with that. We also have Goal and Player of the Month for September to announce. All this and more. But first, I bring in the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, you're fanny.
Thanks. How are you after that yesterday? Dismayed?
I am dismayed. You know, we expected to lose, but we didn't expect to lose in this fashion. And yeah, our hopes were definitely brought up before everything came crashing down. But yeah, I'm actually still fairly positive, as I'm sure we'll find out in this podcast.
Don't worry, I'll turn that around, Kev, don't worry.
I wanted to ask you last week, actually, how are you? Have you got any fuel in your car?
I do, yeah. I mean, we only fill up every 2 weeks, so we filled up last Sunday, no problem. It's a bad situation, but hopefully, I mean, he's getting the army in now to drive the tankers, so... Sure, that's what they signed up for, but, you know.
Yeah. Just tell us a fuel delivery driver. Oh, it is not the first time it's happened. It happened under Blair when there were those fuel protests. I remember that's about 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Fun times.
Or not, yeah. But how are you anyway, Kevin? How's your week been?
All right. Yeah, busy as usual. And yeah, today a little bit later than planned because I'll tell you what, let's see if I can show you. I'm actually surrounded by lovely new double glazing.
Oh, yeah. I thought you had a bit of artwork at the back there. I can see your face and your arse at the same time.
That's just a reflection.
No, that's usually the case anyway.
I should really put some trousers on.
Yes, not a great sight. Yeah, that, I'm definitely dismayed now.
A shame. But yeah, we're going to have that all put in and clearing the flat slowly of all the crap that we built up over the years.
And you're moving out.
Yeah, just temporarily, wants to get a bit of work done. Blitzkrieg attitude to remont, as they call it here.
Really? Okay.
But yeah, just doing some fundamental work on the flat. Just the whole bloody lot. Floors, walls, bathroom, kitchen, you name it.
So the whole tower block, the whole everyone's...
Whole yeah. Shebang. I hope we don't affect anyone below us. Yeah. But if we do. Yeah, there's no windows on the balcony at the moment, which is a bit annoying when it was raining.
Oh dear.
But yeah, so that's keeping us busy.
I bet. Right. Before we get into the news, the usual, a quick reminder, buy me a coffee. If you appreciate what we do and you feel you'd like to buy us a pint, then please head over to buymeacoffee.com/in that number. A big, massive thank you for the last few donations we've received. Dan Fox, Tony Mears, you are all incredible. Thank you so much. So overall, that's Scott Gorman, Rob Spurl, Timmy B, Greg Tilling, Dan Fox, Tony Mears. Big love for you all. If we ever get the chance to meet up, the drinks will be back on us. Because, yeah, you're the greatest.
Yeah, we'll hold you to the pint.
Yes. And also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, you may not see our brilliant artwork that goes with each and every episode that the Moscow Mush and me spend a lot of time doing. So, yeah, make sure you check out our artwork from each episode, and you can see that on our Twitter or Instagram feeds. But yeah, it's definitely worth having a look.
Yeah, and shout out to Connor as well for the photoshopping.
Yeah, Connor does everything for us and photoshopping, so yeah, again, thank you to him. Shall we get into the ITN news then, Mush?
Come on then.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, ITN News then. Our fourth round Carabao Cup tie against Chelsea at the Bridge now has a date. It is scheduled for Tuesday the 26th of October, and that is a 7:45 kickoff. So how about that then, Kev? A return to the Bridge. Fantastic.
Christ.
Stuart Armstrong nearing a return to full fitness, as we know, because he was named on the bench yesterday. Unused. He's also been selected for Steve Clarke's Scotland squad. So it'll be very interesting to see if he's used much there.
Yeah, and on the subject of Stuart Armstrong, I saw an interesting comment from Ralph in the presses that, yeah, he was kind of quite critical of Armstrong, saying that he needed to work hard to get back in the team, that he wasn't up to scratch and that sort of thing. I don't know if it came across a bit of a dig, when maybe where it didn't need to be, just that he's, you know, still recovering from injury and unfit, so he'll need time to work back into the squad, would have been better phrasing than...
Yeah, I think it might have just been lost in translation. I'm hoping it is anyway. But then again, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors, do we? There could have been a rift between the two, but I don't really want to read too much into it. I didn't expect him to be part of the squad at all yesterday. The fact that he was is well, that's a massive positive, but, you know, he didn't get on when he could have brought him on.
Yeah, you think if he didn't bring him on in that second half, what was the point in him being on the bench at all?
I did think that, yeah. Like I said, it will be very, very interesting to see what Steve Clarke does with him in that Scotland squad.
Yeah.
Kevin, player and goal of the month for September. This was a fun one, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially the goal of the month. I mean, thank fuck we scored against Sheffield United, otherwise we wouldn't have had a goal to choose from.
No, it would have been the first time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to that infinite month of the goal.
Yes.
Did I say infinite? I mean, it felt like infinity. I meant infamous, of course. Month of the goal. under Mark Hughes. But yeah, this is, you know, almost new depths. Anyway, we had the wondrous choice of Salisu's goal against Sheffield United and Ibrahima Diallo's in the same match. And with 71% of the vote, it goes to Mo Salisu.
That's criminal. I don't know how that beat Diallo's header. I really don't.
I voted for Diallo's, but, you know, I think maybe people just didn't remember and Salisu's been playing better. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's a democracy. The people have spoken, but I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, you want a people's vote, really. Put it to another vote.
Yes.
All right, and then player of the month. We had a lot of trouble.
It was difficult. Yeah.
All the wrong reasons. I mean, there's a, you know, a couple of players that are nailed on, and the third and fourth place was tough. So if you don't agree with our choices, yeah, do know that it wasn't an easy thing to do.
Were just picking out the ones that sucked the least, really, weren't we? So it was difficult.
I wouldn't say that's fair, because there have been some brilliant performances in there. But I think, you know, barring a couple, that there have been some really poor performances in with some fantastic performances.
And those fantastic performances, well, the fantastic performers only had like one game. So it's difficult to award them player of the month or even be in contention for it. It's difficult.
Yeah, and these are games that we've mostly drawn, so yeah, they weren't particularly memorable either. Yeah, all the same, gave you a choice of Jack fucking Stevens, Oriol Romeo, Mohamed Salisu and Tino Livramento, and it wasn't particularly close, I must say. Oriol Romeo got 3% of the vote. Harsh. Jack fucking Stevens 19, Salisu 22, and of course Tino Livramento sweeps it with 56% of the vote. You got majority, mate.
I honestly thought it was going to be more than 56% of the vote.
Though. Yeah, me too.
I mean, we were arguing over who's going to be the third and fourth choice, and I just thought to myself, well, does it really matter? Because we know that Tino's going to get it. But there again, I would have said that Diallo would have got the goal. So who knows?
I think, yeah, maybe the thinking of Jack fucking Stevens was good when we had him. We didn't lose when we had him. And now that he's gone, we don't look as good. So maybe give it to him on that. But yeah, he had a good game yesterday, I think. And it was just poor against Wolves. I think that just burned in the memory, really, didn't it?
Yeah, and see, Forster got us into the next round of the cup, but he only had the one game.
Yeah, so, I really wanted to put him in, but
not even in contention.
Maybe
next month. Loan watch, then. A little bit of news to go through, and then loan watch. Kane Ramsey. Drew 1-1 with Plymouth away on Tuesday night, but he was taken off after 51 minutes, you know, under unusual circumstances. He was struggling to breathe. It was really, really scary stuff. He wasn't looking too good. It was said to be an allergic reaction.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what it was. I mean, I don't know exactly what the allergic reaction was, but yeah, you said he wasn't looking particularly good. Someone said that it looked like he'd done 10 rounds with Usyk.
Yeah, scary. Very, very scary stuff, considering what happened with Christian Eriksen in the Euros as well. It's just, you'd never want to see it. But
sure.
Yeah, as I say, he's feeling much, much better now. He so much so that he played full 90 minutes in Crewe's 2-2 home draw with Cambridge on Saturday. And guess what? He picked up his customary booking. That proves he's back to his usual self, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, literally within hours, he posted on social media, on Twitter, saying, like, yeah, I'm feeling fine. I think he had the medication, you know, in his locker or whatever, and just had to take that, and then it went. So, yeah.
Good stuff. They've moved up to 22nd in the league now, a point behind Charlton to move out of the relegation zone.
God, Charlton are in trouble, aren't they?
They won't be this week because they've got the B team in the cup.
Yes.
Football League trophy. So that should be an easy one.
Nigel Adkins is going to have fun, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly will. Dan and Underloo, his Lincoln side lost 2-0 away to Morecambe on Tuesday. He started but came off in the 77th minute. And yesterday he played the whole 90 minutes of their 2-2 draw with Plymouth. And he also picked up a booking. And they are 16th in League One. And Will Ferry's Crawley, they drew 2-2 with Harrogate Town, and Ferry played the entire 90 minutes. And Crawley lost 2-1 at Tranmere Rovers yesterday. But Will Ferry picked up a knock and played no part in that loss. Maybe that's why they lost, clearly. And they have now slipped to 14th in League Two.
Can I just jump in? I know he's not a loanee because he's left Saints, but he's still a youngster. Tommy O'Connor.
Yes. I did see who he scored against, yeah.
Yeah, put Burton Albion 1-0 up. Beauty.
I didn't see it, but I saw the reports. Everyone was right up on it, as they usually are when someone scores against them a lot. I used to play for us. So, yeah, good stuff. The B team, however, not good stuff again. Away to Birmingham City on Monday night. They were 2-0 up and lost 3-2. Another devastating loss. And home to Stoke on Friday night. 1-1, Kev. A big, big point indeed. That was at Staplewood. And a goal from Kazim Alegbi, his second penalty of the season. They remain bottom of the table, of course. Some 4 points off Birmingham. Big games coming up for them now.
Shit, yeah. Can't score except for penalties. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
The women's, they are playing in 10 minutes against Keynsham Town at home. And that's a 2 o'clock kickoff. So we'll look out for that.
Just on the subject of the women, I mean, not Southampton FC women, but Southampton Women's FC. It wasn't just Kane Ramsey who'd suffered on pitch during the week as well. Eleanor Reid, she collapsed on pitch during Southampton Women's FC's match against Chichester City. And the match was called off. She's in hospital and recovering. I think she's going to be on the slow path to recovery. But definitely best of wishes to and a speedy recovery to Eleanor.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, wow.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
OK, then, Chelsea yesterday, Stamford Bridge, lost by a score of 3-1. Goal from the penalty spot from James Ward-Prowse before seeing a straight red and picking up a free match ban. Chelsea goals were from Trevor Chalobah, Timo Werner late on, and Ben Chilwell even later. Starters, changes, or two changes from the Wolves defeat. Walcott back in the 11 following his layoff. Teller gets his first start instead of Elianusi, and of course Adams went to the bench. Stuart Armstrong on the bench, as we mentioned. Nice, very nice. Before we get into the details of the game, I just want to say how great the travelling fans were, because they were full of song. They were often heard over the Chelsea faithful. Despite the result, you know, the fans were forever singing. Even at the end, they were there and, you know, carrying on singing. So, yeah, that was fantastic to see.
Yeah, certainly.
Right, now that's out of the way. 1-0 down after 9 minutes. Trevor Chalobah alone at the back post. Another set piece. And it was just easy, really, wasn't it? No defender on the sticks. James Ward-Prowse was lost, truly, wasn't he, there? I don't know what he was playing at, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the defending strategy was there. I mean, is it zonal or man marking? Either way you look at it, they didn't carry out either of those. No players at either post. Aspilicueta and Chalobah completely unmarked for a corner.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Beyond fucking belief.
It is, but I mean, I will say this: Cesar Aspilicueta is in an offside position in McCarthy's eye line.
Yes.
Not even considered. Not even looked at. Lots to discuss from this goal alone, really, isn't there? Because you have to put players on the post from corners, in my opinion. And there's this modern way of defending corners with a mixture of zonal and man-for-man, like you mentioned. And that just leaves no one on the posts. And it keeps happening. I saw it last week as well. There's several goals. I think it was Man United-Aston Villa game. There's just no one on the posts anymore because they're bringing in these set-piece specialists to deal with these, and it's not fucking working, is it? Keeps happening.
No. Yeah, try that against Burnley and see how you do.
Yeah.
And Aspilicueta even has a little tussle with Maka just as the ball's coming in to sort of put him off. I mean, I don't know if you classify it as a foul, but again,
interference.
They're interfering with play.
Yeah. And you know, Kevin, that was the first time we've conceded in the first half this season.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that's a surprise, isn't it? It surprised me too.
Yeah.
The one good chance that I think a lot of people have spoken about in that first half from us Kai Walker-Peters did brilliant down the left, puts in a cross for Walcott, should have done better with it, just headed it wide.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's, you know, your beautiful play along the line there, just dancing around everyone and gets the ball. It's an ideal ball in as well. And Walcott, I don't know how, he's at the near post and manages to head it past the far post.
Yeah, he almost made it into a glancing header when it wasn't.
It was a glancing header, yeah.
It should have. Yeah, it could have just been like a power one, you know. But
that's Walcott for you.
That's Walcott for you, yeah. First half performance, Kev. I mean, we kept them at bay for large portions, right? Because Chelsea dominated possession. You always knew that was going to happen. But they just couldn't double the lead.
I mean, I wouldn't say they dominated possession. Half-time stats said they had 54% possession. It's a combination, wasn't it, of luck and good play. I think, you know, when we had defensive lapses, something went against Chelsea. I mean, it wasn't a particularly clean game from them, was it?
No, absolutely not. I mean...
No, we mentioned the interference on the corner there that led to their goal. Then, yeah, one chucked off for offside, disallowed for various fouls. It's quite a lot of little, you know, niggling little fouls.
Quite a lot for the ref.
From both sides. Yeah, a lot of chances for him to get it wrong.
Incidentally, I was reading a match report, and you know they've started giving marks out of 10 for the referees now.
Really?
Yes.
What did, it was Martin Atkinson, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Martin Atkinson. They gave him a 6.
Okay, yeah, reasonable, I suppose.
Yeah, but better performance than Redmond, anyway. Lukaku did have the ball in the net at one point, but the flag was up. It's a correct decision, right?
Yes, yeah. But again, it's a situation that we shouldn't be in. Really, quite easily.
And that's Walker-Prowse, wasn't it?
Walker-Prowse. Just have to put Walker-Prowse on for the Leeds match, just in Walker-Peters' shirt, and say, what? What are you talking about? Gets beaten too easily by Rudiger, and it's a tasty little through ball to Lukaku, but yeah, doesn't time his run well. Flag goes up straight away. VAR, did they have to confirm it?
Apparently so.
Yeah, because it was quite clearly offside. And was it after that decision that Tuchel got booked for slagging the referees?
No, it was after the Timo Werner disallowed goal that he
disallowed
got.
Goal.
That
yeah.
was a bit later on, but yeah. We mentioned James Ward-Prowse there, you know, easily beaten by Rudiger. Hasn't been himself this season at all, is he? And I'm going to say it, right, maybe this suspension could rejuvenate him somewhat, because maybe he does need a little bit of a rest. You know, he's an Iron Man, and there was no way he should have been involved in that Sheffield United game. I mean, I know he didn't start, but you come off the bench and there's just no need to bring him on. And if you're looking for a silver lining there, I guess that's it, maybe. Just give him a little bit of a break. And more importantly, see how we play without him, because we just don't know, do we?
Well, I mean, he was going to be on a break anyway, because we've got an international break coming up. And
Southgate doesn't like him.
Yeah, Southgate has somehow managed to forget he exists. So,
well, I can see why in this case, to be honest.
He's not at his best. Yeah, that is fair.
But yeah, now he gets 3 games off. So, Livramento, Kevin, always a bright spark going forward. He's always something to look forward to, I guess. He tried to link up with Theo as much as he could, but I mean, let's face it, Chelsea defended pretty well. There was a moment when Hudson-Odoi was running down the left after dispossessing Tino. Tino puts his head down and he's gone. He's following back with the play, and he catches up and puts in a fantastic tackle. That is fucking outstanding. That is incredible. You lose the ball, you don't give up, you put in a goal saving tackle like that. Absolutely brilliant from him. Just doesn't let it get to him. Can you imagine if that was Theo or Redmond losing the ball there? Can you see them tracking back?
I mean, it depends on what mood they're in, but Tino always seems to be up for it. I thought it was Ludacris who dispossessed him. But yeah, I mean, he does manage to run from one end of the pitch to the other. And yeah, the tackle he put in, beautifully timed.
Yeah, just amazing.
So maybe Prowse could learn from him.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, how can you leave Tino out of the team at the moment when he's given so much effort? And I kind of sympathise with Ralph over the whole Livramento KWP Perreault situation, because KWP's been fantastic. Well, he was last season. doesn't deserve to be on the bench. Pero needs more time and also doesn't deserve large amounts of time on the sidelines. But how can you fit them all in, I suppose? And he's kind of shoehorning Kai Walker-Peters in just because he doesn't need to be on the bench, does he? But like I've said before, push Tino up further forward, and especially as we don't have James Ward-Prowse now. Put Stu through the centre, drop Theo, Redmond, Elianusi, etc. They're all ineffective at the moment, and let's push Tino further forward. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying for a long time, haven't we? But yeah, I think if you've got Pero and who's the ideal partner on the left there, Gineppo maybe, on one wing. Tino, as brilliant as he is, doesn't really have a decent partner on that right wing. So maybe putting Walker-Peters behind him.
Not having a consistent partner as well doesn't help.
Yeah, but I think if you had Walker-Peters behind him, that help him defensively and allow him to push further forward. And we could have an effective attack down both wings. Because, I mean, a lot of our play was coming down the left yesterday. So, yeah, Tino didn't have, you know, that huge amount of time on the ball. But when he did have a look in, he's looking as lively as ever.
Yeah. Timo Werner headed Chelsea into that 2-0 lead, only for VAR to rule it out again. Azpilicueta with the foul on Kai Walker-Peters. Do you agree with that? Was that a little soft? A little bit harsh, maybe?
I mean, it's good they spotted it. But, I mean, at the same time, Livramento was being fouled by Lukaku. And it wasn't initially clear which foul that they were looking at until they picked that one.
Yeah, take your pick, so, either way.
I mean, Mike Dean at least paying lip service to being unbiased by looking at fouls against Saints for once.
I suppose so, yeah.
But it was a goal that shouldn't really have happened. It was, I think, poor defending in the build-up. You got three crosses that one cleared. I mean, it was a good block from Bednarek, but he puts it straight back to Azpilicueta and goes over the goal, over the face of goal, and then back in again. It's just too edgy. And you know, as the clock's ticking down in that first half, you don't want to be going out 2-0 down.
Definitely not. That could have been, that would have been game, set, and match right there, wouldn't it? But
You're lucky not to.
Yeah. Timo Werner, poor Timo. You know, since moving to Chelsea, he's had 16 goals disallowed by the VAR. That's mental.
Stay outside then.
Yeah. And Tuchel picks up a booking for his disgust there. Kevin Walcott off, Diallo on. I thought Diallo did well. I thought, you know, spreading the ball around, he was looking to join in the attacks whenever we had them. Passed the ball to Livramento for the penalty.
Yeah, yes, interesting choice. We wouldn't expect to see this from Ralph last season, but switching to three at the back effectively, with Romelu right back there, Bednarek on the right and Salisu on the left. Tino and Walker-Peters pushed up much higher, piled on the pressure, and it was working.
It was. It certainly was. And then you know, we get into the area. Chilwell takes down Livramento. I say takes him down, he chops him down. Blatant. No complaints. As obvious as you can get, right?
It's sort of like Mortal Kombat. It's a little scissor kick.
Finish him.
Yeah.
But mind you, I thought they had a Armstrong one with Man City and Kyle Walker was blatant. But then again, you know. I did.
Well, Chilwell doesn't argue with it. I think you can see, and you can see the cameras pick up the Chelsea fans just on the sidelines there, behind the goal, and you can tell by their reactions they're like, oh fuck, we've given one away. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not swearing. They're just they're wincing. They're just like.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oops. but nevertheless, a great penalty, ice cold. It's probably the best thing that Ward-Prowse has done for quite a while. He tucked it away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember him being particularly good penalty taker when he started his penalty duties, but he seems to have built up a lot of confidence. And yeah, do you see Mendy there channeling his inner Jerzy Dudek, dancing along the goal line to kind of put him off? It still gets sent the wrong way.
Didn't work, yeah, didn't work. Do you know his last 9 goals now have been penalties or free kicks?
That doesn't surprise me. So is he our top scorer now?
No, Elianusi's got 4, hasn't he?
Ah, okay, but in the league.
Yes, McCarthy. The save on Timo Werner was incredible. And I've sat and I've listened to fans saying that Forster needs to be playing, and all of them are saying this. But really, I have to ask why, because All right, you may say he's a better keeper. Probably is, but McCarthy has done nothing wrong this season at all. And he's not the reason that we've been losing or failing to score. I mean, he's dealt with everything. Well, everything he's supposed to deal with anyway, and pulled off some brilliant saves when he has no right to, I guess. He should have been in contention for Player of the Month as well, I think, because I feel like he's only mentioned when he's made a mistake. And I'm here to give him some much-needed love, because that was brilliant from Maka.
Yeah, not by us. I mean, if he's had a good game, we're there to sing his praises.
Yeah, I just think it needs to be a little bit more balanced between the fans, because, like I've said, there's not enough love for him even after this performance.
I think it's not really a fair comparison. I mean, overall, I think, yeah, Forster is the better keeper, but I don't see how McCarthy should be dropped based on his performance this season. And it's not fair. We're playing weaker teams in the cup when Forster comes out, so he looks good. You know, still let in to under whatever circumstances against Sheffield United. And yeah, Maka, yeah, not always 10 out of 10 performer, but yeah, he definitely gives it his all.
Certainly, yeah. Player we haven't mentioned at all today is Nathan Teller. He came off for Moussa Dzeneppo. A quick word on him. Not good enough, I guess. Not good enough for me anyway. He's just, well, I mean,
who,
I ask
Teller
him,
or Dzeneppo?
Teller. Is he just a one-trick pony? Because does he just have pace? His decision-making isn't even close, really, is it? There's a number of occasions where he looked to take on Azpilicueta, and you've got to applaud him for that, I suppose. But you've got to try and be positive on the ball. But really, he wasn't even close to it, to be honest. And people say modern football is all about pace, but does he actually have anything else in his locker?
Are we talking about Teller or Dzeneppo?
We're talking about Teller, for goodness sake.
Say the same about both of them.
I suppose, but then Moose has got the tricks, isn't he?
Dancing about the sideline and in and out with defenders and then running it into the side netting doesn't get us anywhere either.
No. Forget Dzeneppo for now.
Yes. Like you said, Teller, he's got the pace. But, you know, all the fans have been screaming, you know, what's Teller done to be left out of the team?
I was. Yeah. I mean, I'd still much rather give Teller a go over Redmond at the moment.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? But still, he hasn't shown that he was that much better.
No, he didn't.
I think Redmond didn't have that bad a game.
Are you joking?
No.
Redmond was... I've lost patience with that guy. He was useless. What did he do? Him and Armstrong up front, I didn't even know they were playing.
Oh, Armstrong as well, yeah. I mean, this is a difficult one. I did feel sorry for Armstrong. Before Ward-Prowse gets sent off, Armstrong has a charge forward, and he's got the choice of Teller on his left and Redmond on the right, but neither of them are willing to make a run in. So he's kind of forced into having a shot himself, and I think Thiago Silva intervenes. That is just frustrating. You know, the few chances that we do get, either it's a poor ball in, or Teller, Redmond, Dzeneppo, Onusi, whoever, stick it into the first defender. Armstrong doesn't run into those spaces. Not only him, but again, nobody seems to be creating.
Yeah, it's just wrong decisions, isn't it?
Just being reliant much on Ings to create his own space.
Exactly, that's what we're missing.
Yeah, they end up making poor decisions.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what, the more and more this goes on, the worse it's going to get, because players like that are going to thrive on confidence.
Yeah, I mean, we thought, you know, Armstrong getting his first goal in early was a good sign, but it's gone dry now.
It certainly has, just like the petrol.
Yes, they've all run out of fuel.
They have, yeah. Kevin, the main talking point and the reason that we lost this game, James Ward-Prowse's red card, needless, I guess, mistimed.
Are you telling me?
Yeah, he did make a genuine attempt to get the ball, and Mendy did make a poor pass, and Prowse had every right to make an attempt. I mean, they've said it on Match of the Day as well, if he gets the ball there in that area, then there's a great chance that we score. So there was a big reward there. But did he need to go to ground on it, though? Put it this way, if he'd have stayed on his feet, do you think that it would have been a yellow?
If Prowse has taken this
game. Yeah, sure. If he just done like a step in lunge and tackle as opposed to, you know,
got
feet off the ground, studs, you know. Would it? Yeah, possibly not. Jorginho probably would have controlled it a little bit better. But I just kind of sympathise with Prowsey that he had the right to go for that, you know, that errant pass from Mendy.
Yeah, I mean, there were positives to the performance. And, you know, within the last 15 minutes of the game, it's 1-1. You've got a chance to win it, and they were going for it. And it's pressure from Redmond, who you were just slagging off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. He can chase a ball. Well done.
Well, yeah, he's putting Mendy under pressure. And it's not the best of passes from him to Jorginho. And, yeah, Prowse, I mean, just a fraction of a second earlier, and he probably would have got to the ball. But it was, yeah, it was late. It was badly timed. The pitch was really boggy as well. I think that does come into play.
I never even thought of that. That's a good point.
Aquaplanes into him. I mean, maybe he was kind of using that to his advantage to try and snatch the ball from him. But yeah, I mean, fair play for the endeavour, but it didn't work out very well. And I thought when the ref gave him a yellow, I was thinking, fuck me, he's lucky there, because he could have given him a red quite easily.
Well, I'm convinced, well, Jorginho didn't help the situation at all, did he? Because I'm convinced that...
He gave birth.
I don't think VAR would have looked at this if Jorginho had got straight back up again. So I think that yellow would have stood.
But he did get up in the end. I mean,
he got up in the end, but after he'd given birth.
Martin Atkinson, yeah. But I mean, when you know Martin Atkinson shows him the yellow card, and we think, all right, we're going to play on, and then Mike Dean says, "Oh, you've forgotten I'm here, have you?" but yeah, by that time, Jorginho is up and wandering about, and. Having a laugh about it. I must say, Prowsey smirking, as much as I love it, probably didn't help him here.
No, and he's got to take the blame for this result, you know.
Yeah, he will.
Quarter of an hour with 10 men at Stamford Bridge, it is hard enough for any team, isn't it? But, you know, when you're Saints and you can't score, it's backs to the wall. And, yeah, three game suspension now, Kev.
Shit, yeah. So, yeah, he will miss that Chelsea match.
Yeah, in the EFL Cup, Carabao Cup. Yeah, he's going to miss that also.
Yeah, blimey. I mean, not going back to Stamford Bridge is probably a good thing. And then back to the scene of the crime. But, yeah, we're going to miss him against Leeds and Burnley.
That's right, yeah. Crucial ones. Really, really crucial. Well, I suppose they're all crucial now, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Back to that VAR decision. Yeah, did you hear Ralph after the match? He said that, yeah, I knew when Mike Dean was on VAR that referee would go and have a look at it. Yeah,
he said he's not been kind to us in the past or something, didn't he? And I was like, yeah, he knows. He knows the score. I'm sure Mike Dean knows that he's been, you know, a thorn in our side. I'm sure he knows it. Maybe he's just playing up to it now. He's got to be like, do you think they look at their own stats and like, oh shit, I've been responsible for sending off like 20 Saints players in the last year. Obviously not that high. I don't know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Mike Dean strikes me as the sort of self-centered cunt who Googles himself. So yeah, whatever he reads there, he deserves to see.
no death threats though, please. It's not worth a man's life. It's not worth it. Yeah, Timo Werner gave them that lead late on. It was a quality goal. Let's say it, that, yeah. Starting off with. Too much to ask for, really, wasn't it? The 10 men in quarter of an hour. Penn back, undermanned, and it was a brilliant pass from Barkley, which set that up.
Beautiful. Yeah, and Azpilicueta has a lot to do and squares it straight across to Werner there. You can't help but admire it. Yeah, the other goals that were either allowed or disallowed weren't as beautiful as that. I think if they were playing like that for the whole 90 minutes, or for at least for the most part of it, you would have said, well, yeah, we were just completely outplayed there. But a flash of brilliance like that. And I thought we were doing well to try and hold it together at that point. But yeah.
I think we were. I mean, it took him to the 84th minute, didn't it?
Yeah, 10 minutes to go. And you think, well, you know, could we kind of get back in it? It's theoretically possible.
Let's hope for another penalty. We could actually win this game. But yeah. Yes. And then Redmond comes off for Elyounoussi. And I've said before, I just thought he was anonymous. I don't think he's doing enough to get in this team at the moment. But he's obviously doing something that Ralph likes and apparently that you like.
Well, like I say, praise where praise is due there. He was putting on the pressure. He wasn't, you know, standing with his arms on his hips. His arms on his hips? Standing with his hands on his hips in an offside position as he has done in the past. He wasn't indifferent, at least.
Well done. Yeah, that's a plus for you then, Redmond. You haven't been completely shit.
Not completely shit. Yeah, I think there were players who were more or less completely shit.
I don't know. I disagree. I think Redmond was the worst player on the pitch.
Well, I think getting sent off was definitely
going to go. Oh, yes, of course. Brousey. Yeah. Sorry, Brousey, yeah. Defensively, he was a liability as well, Brousey. So
he wasn't, yeah, he was awful before that.
Mm. Yeah, sorry, Redmond. You weren't the worst player on the pitch. Yeah. Give yourself a pat on the back. Well done. It's an improvement. It is. Chilwell goal, Kev. That was impressive also. McCarthy was unlucky there because he made a bloody good effort. And, you know, the build-up to the play, it was a post, it was a crossbar, and it was a fucking bloody good shot from a left-back, wasn't it?
Yeah, at this point in the game where it's all going to shit, I mean, I just... You know, I can't really handle it, to be honest. The players can't either. But yes, so much happened in space of a few seconds. Lukaku hits the post, and then Azpilicueta hits the bar. But it comes out to Chilwell, he recovers it and puts in a wonderful volley. I thought Maka had saved it, but yeah, again, slight criticism that he got pushed back, you know, just an inch or two too far into the goal, and Hawkeye obviously gave that.
Yeah, good goal line technology is a good thing, but I just wish they'd have been like, well, just for the effort, you're going to win this game anyway. Let's just chalk that one off, you know?
Say, oh, that was a good save. Nah, yeah. You can't give that one.
Yeah, and that was it, 3-1. Ultimately, the red card would cost us, and it did change the game entirely, because at 1-1, not only were we in it, but Chelsea didn't really look up for it either, did they? And I think the scoreline flatters them somewhat. So we had some good efforts out there. And McCarthy, Salisu and Bednarik, Kev, I think they dealt with Lukaku well enough.
Because
he must be fucking difficult to defend against. You know, he manhandled Salisu at times, but I think that's the sort of game that Salisu thrives on, that physical side of the play. And he won't be bullied, will he? So you have to take some solace out of the fact that it took a really strong Chelsea side that late to take the points. And it must have frustrated them, because we heard booing from the home fans at points.
Ah, yeah. I don't know if they're booing the referees for making those decisions. But yeah, when they're walking off at half time, I don't think it was the team that they were booing.
Think it was.
But it wasn't, though. Like you said, they really restricted Lukaku. He was limited to two shots, one of which was that, you know, last minute one against the post. So that's definitely an achievement. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here, well, at least our listeners anyway, who captained Lukaku. Because you think, well, if it doesn't work out for me, I'm pleased that he hasn't scored. But if it does, well, at least there's something good coming out of the game.
A good decision. Well, I say it would have been before, but not so much. But I guess we did the best we could in the situation we presented, right? I mean, Theo, Redmond, Armstrong were just not good enough. And Teller too, I guess. And Brousey was poor. So a lot of poor performances individually. But I continue to be impressed with Livramento, and I thought Diallo was good. Back two handled Lukaku, I thought. So, yeah, that's where I stand. Man of the match for you, Kevin?
Okay. I mean, yeah, Diallo, when he came in, looked all right. I think there's a few players. Walker Peters, I think he was looking decent as a left back. It's kind of hit and miss really from him, isn't it? Whether he can play on his weaker foot, but Bednarik and Salisu to a lesser extent, I suppose. I thought they had a decent match, getting some lovely blocks in. Did get beaten in the air quite a lot, though, which is unfortunate. And yeah, the defending on set pieces, fuck me, they've got to work on that, haven't they?
Oh, God, yeah. So is Prowsey.
Romelu, he's such a versatile player, apparently. I mean, he slipped back into a back three there quite nicely and mopped up play. And yeah, I think they've got someone who, in the last minutes of the game, you think, would, if you've got Romelu Lukaku against Salisu or Bednarik, or against Romelu, I think that's more of a battle, isn't it? He has his poor games occasionally.
So does everyone.
I think there's a reason that Prowsey gave him the armband as he was walking off. It's just a no-brainer, and he's just such a solid performer. Yeah, he did pick up his customary early yellow card, and you think that, oh, he's going to be skating on thin ice. But
that's for you, Kane.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was that time he spent in the under-23s that they all looked at Romeo and thought, oh, he's such a stand-up a character, and just copied what he did, and now they get booked every fucking match. But never sent off. Yeah, I don't know how he does it, how he just manages to tone it down a little bit so he doesn't get that second yellow.
He knows his limits.
Yeah.
But kick him early to let them be scared, and then, you know, just ease off.
Yeah, like going to prison, I suppose. You want to stamp your authority early on.
It's a great simile, yeah.
Anyway, for all those good performances, like I said, yeah, you mentioned the shite performers. I think there's a few good performers, but I'm going to give it to a man that we've been singing the praises of for most of this podcast now, Macca. Yeah, I mean, it's strange to give man of the match to a keeper when he's let in three, and, well, two more that have been chalked off as well. But, I mean, how many more would it have been if he hadn't have put in a performance like that? I mean, that save with his left hand from Timo Werner was just, yeah, another level, really.
Worldy, yeah. Oh, good, Kevin. Well done. I'm nodding along to you at the moment, although you can't see me. But yeah, Livramento's got a lot in his locker, hasn't he? Like I said before, he's got the pace, he's got the desire to get forward. He can defend, as we've seen as well. Positionally, he looks spot on, won the penalty, and he's still only 18, so he's going to be a star. But I'm going to continue to give the love to Macca. And again, like you've said, it seems strange to give him the gong when he's, you know, conceded three. But I mean, yeah, like you've said, again, he kept us in it, really. It could have been a lot more. Yeah, he was so unlucky with that third goal. But I'm going to give it to Macca as well. So, yeah, well played, Alex McCarthy. You are both of our man of the match. A position then that moves us to 17th. That's 1 point above the relegation zone. 4 points, no wins, 4 draws and 3 losses. Ugh. But Burnley, Kevin, who are below us, have to travel to City after the international break. And we have Leeds, of course. And speaking of Leeds...
Dean Hammond here. Thank you for tuning in to In That Number.
OK, then, after the international break, we go to Leeds on the 16th, Saturday the 16th of October. And with us, as always, to talk through Leeds, we have Tim. Tim, how are you this week?
I mean, it's not ideal in terms of the Saints right now. They're not looking too good. But personally, couldn't complain. Things are pretty decent so far, and excited for the planning of the trip that I'll be there in actually 1 month's time, 11/3/2021. Well, yeah, so 3 of November or 2021. So
yeah, we say it the other way around.
Yes. Yeah.
Confuses the hell out of me at times when I'm looking at like Giants, Rangers, Knicks and stuff. It's like, what? 10th of March?
Yeah.
Leeds, as I said, Saturday the 16th of October. Nickname?
Lily Whites, Yorkshireman.
Yeah, the Whites. The Peacocks as well.
The Bread Cakes.
The Bread Do you know why they're called the Peacocks, Kevin?
Because they're a bunch of cocks.
No, apparently because of the old Peacock pub and the new Peacock pub. You should know, mate. You fucking lived there.
I didn't live anywhere near Elland Road. Is there a pub there then that was called the Peacock?
I think Bellend Road, as we like to call it. I think that was the ground was put in between the two pubs, and they were called the Old Peacock and the New Peacock, I believe. So yeah, that's where the Peacocks comes from. But yeah,
no, we didn't go to either when we went to Elland Road.
We did not. Did we? Bellend Road, Kevin.
Bellend Road. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Famous fans, either of you?
Can't tell you.
Again, give me clues.
Australian actor.
Hugh Grant.
Guy Pearce.
He's English. Hugh Grant's a Fulham fan, anyway.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, yeah, well done. A Spice Girl.
Mel B.
Yes, lead singer of the Stereophonics.
That Welsh fella.
That Welsh fella, indeed, Kelly Jones, yeah. Father Ted. Dougal.
Oh, Ardla Hannon.
Yep. University Challenge.
Paxman.
Jeremy Paxman. Irish golfer.
Rory McIlroy.
No. He's a Man United fan, I believe. Anyway, I'll tell you, it's Padraic Harrington. He's a big Leeds fan, apparently. They've got all the right credentials. I think out of all of those, the only person born in Leeds was Mel B. I don't know about Jeremy Paxman. I don't know where he's... Anyway, Tim, Leeds, brilliant return to the Premier League last term. Beat us with ease, home and away, last season. Five scored and none conceded. Having a bit of a slow start this time around, despite bringing in the likes of like Junior Firpo and Dan James. Home to Watford on Saturday and came out with the points and a 1-0 win. This is another big one now. Two points directly above us. We need to start picking up points against someone, and can we do it this time? And we have over a week to consider them, I suppose. So.
We need to, is the best way to describe it. So they're sitting at 16th, so we're in 17th, and we need the points. They're at 6 points, we're at 4, and we're one of 4 teams who have not won a game yet. And that includes Burnley, Norwich, and Newcastle. So you know that Burnley and Newcastle always try to scrape through. They're doing their best with Sean Dyche and Steve Bruce over there, and they can go on a run at any point in time, showing that in the last few years while they finish lower table. they're successful. Now we can count on Norwich being out, so we have to be better than two other teams at this point. But the good thing, I want to say the good thing, and is they've had a lot of injury concerns, and so that depends on what's going to happen then for after the international break. So they'll have a full week to be able to recover leading into the game going on to the 16th of October. They've had a lot of center back concerns, but not recently. They did bring back Cooper and Llorente, who Llorente was able to score the goal against Watford. Luke Ayling's been out, and he's a tough son of a gun, and he wouldn't be out unless he absolutely had to. And then Bamford's been out for a while, so you had Rodrigo sliding in up top, which is kind of his natural position there. And so, yeah, with Dan James and Junior Firpo being their big signings over the summer, lots to look forward to in terms of the high press that they have. And last year, it was kind of the anticipated matchup, the exciting matchup with our high press versus their high press, and expecting a lot. And then we just completely fell over because of that.
And yeah, they're just so. I mean, Bielsa's sides are just full of energy, aren't they? I mean, he just works them so hard, and they're making sure that they are just relentless with their pace and just don't give up on anything.
Absolutely. Then they usually lead the league in interceptions. And while they do press heavily, it's crazy to think about because they actually do have a decent amount of possession. You would think that they'd be a run and dump type style. And that's not it. That's actually more of us right now, since we are not able to connect through the middle.
Well, certainly and dump. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's I think that's a testament to Armstrong being out, who's been our best player at being able to connect and lead between, well, Ings last year, since Armstrong hasn't been able to play this season. So their traditional formation is a 4-1-4-1, but it does move around a lot. So depending on when they're in their attack, it's a 3-5-2. Ayling usually slid into that right center back role, but who knows when it comes to Shackleton and how that was all set up. I didn't catch the Leeds game this past yesterday. And they can also slide into a 4-3-3 with Rafinha being able to be that right winger. It's pretty crazy. And then they'll shift to 5 at the back with being in defense, and that's Stuart Dallas, who can literally float around the park and do it just about anything at any point in time. So hopefully we can keep Luke Ayling out, we can keep Bamford out, and that'll be our best hope in terms of being able to connect and score and hopefully get a win out of it. So their expected formation is going to be fairly similar to what they had against Watford. Meslier in goal. You've got Junior Firpo in left back, Cooper, Llorente, and then Shackleton. Unless Ayling does come back, he'll be in the right back role. Calvin Phillips holding down that DM role. The midfield of 4: Rafinha, Dallas, Click, and Dan James, along with Rodrigo up top. Now, I don't expect Bamford to be back, but Ayling is potential to come back in that time. The key battle is always going to be Rafinha. That guy is flair on flair on flair, and he's just as got as much flair as Saint-Maximin, and it's crazy to think about. So We'll see what happens, and shop blocking from Salisu, and hopefully we're able to lock him down, but he's on the right side, and you know, we don't know who's going to be there, if it's KWP or Perraud.
Well, it's definitely not going to be a left back, that's for sure.
Yeah. Perraud, I think is, I want to say is, KWP is just great. And so Perraud being dropped is not to the detriment of Perraud. It's just that KWP is KWP. But I do think his attack is faltered by not being left-footed. He can play defense. He can do that decently. And he's good in the role. I just think that Perraud was better because of that left foot. He's shown a lot of crosses. He's shown a lot of success going forward with that. And it sucks that he's been dropped, but we'll find out what happens. But going into our formation, what to expect now with Prowsey being out, that's crazy to think about. I'm looking at McCarthy, Tino, Bednarik, Salisu, and I do think Perraud is going to come back in.
I do too.
I think he'll come back in. Now, here is where the change is. Right at the end of the last season, Stuart Armstrong did slide into that six role, also alongside JWP. I think he's going to slide back in and hit alongside Romeu. And then it's a crapshoot, and it seems to be that we can't drop Redmond at any point in time, although he did play up top alongside Adam Armstrong. So I think it'll be Walcott and Redmond. Now, that's maybe not who I'd prefer, but I think that's who's going to be happening. And then Adams will slide back in along with Adam Armstrong up top.
Yeah, I can see that. But I mean, I kind of was hoping that Armstrong would slot in into the center, play a more of attacking role over Romeu, and then push Livramento further forward and put Kyle Walker-Peters at right back. But that's just what I prefer. But I know that's not going to happen. Predictions then. I think I'm going to go first this week. And I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen in this match. Fuck it, 2-1 Saints win.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. You really do have no idea.
God damn right.
By the way, Alex is also going for a 1-1 draw. So nice one, Alex. Tim, what are you doing?
I'm taking the opposite, 2-1 loss.
Okay.
Spread out.
Okay. We got a draw, we got a win, and we got a loss. So something's got to give there. And Gemma, Kevin, is going for a customary 0-0, which I could see happening, to be honest.
0-0?
Mm-hmm.
With our defence.
They're not exactly lighting up the league with goals at the moment, are they? Okay, well, we'll go with Abby then.
1-1.
Yay! Nice one, Abby. And Caitlin is going for a 1-0 Leeds.
She's going 2-0 Saints.
Okay.
Yep. Mad, but I love it. But I've gone for a Saints win as well, so I can't talk any better.
Excellent. Right, we have to say goodbye to Tim.
Thank you very much, guys. Tim. I appreciate it. And we'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. God, I hope so. I hope so.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia, and thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay, we are back with extra time, and we start, as always, with the predictions from Chelsea. Now, this is annoying because I had written down Chelsea 3, Saints 1, but I believe on the pod I said Chelsea 3, Saints 0. So I have to go with that, I'm afraid. You went 1-0 Chelsea, Tim went 1-1, and Alex went 1-0 Chelsea. So we all score points apart from Tim, which means the scores after Chelsea are me on 11, you on 11, Tim on 6, and Alex on 2. Wife Wars, Kevin.
Yes. Everyone went for a Chelsea win. No one got 3-1, so everyone gets 2 points except for Gemma.
She went 0-0.
She went 0-0. Yeah, so that leaves Moon on 11, Abby tied with Gemma on 8, and Caitlin, all of them have got 8. Yeah.
Yes. Super 6. Amazing. I forgot to do it again on round 11. So, yeah, brilliant. Brilliant stuff from me. Round 11 was won by Colin Carter on 16, and he already had the lead. Now, he took it to 110 points. However, round 12 happened yesterday, and Laura Maratzing wins. I think that's her second in 3 weeks. 18 points for Laura. That's excellent. And Colin Carter still hangs on to the lead with 117 points. Now, in the Ugly Inside Super 6, Kev, there was one bloke that got 25 points who won from that week. So he got every single result spot on apart from one.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he was, put it this way, he was two goals away from £500,000. All he had, not actually tight, his name's Paul Norman. So he got Chelsea to win 3-1. He got Wolves to beat Newcastle 2-1. He got Leeds to beat Watford 1-0. He got Bournemouth to beat Sheffield United 2-1. He got Blackpool to beat Blackburn 2-1. And the only thing that he got wrong was he put 2-0 to Burnley over Norwich, and it was 0-0. So, yeah, two goals from having £250,000. Just wanted to mention that that was absolutely incredible. What a score that was. I've never seen anything that close in our leagues before. So, well done.
It's impressive.
It is very impressive. I'll tell you what isn't impressive. My fantasy football team, Kev.
Yeah.
Nice transition there.
I was so proud of my team, and I used my wild card as well to try and make the most of my team, because it was really on a slide in terms of quality. And so far, I've got 17 points.
There's a lot of games going on right now, though, Kev, so don't beat yourself up.
Yeah, I've only got two players in those games. So.
Oh, okay. Well, most of my... I'm doing shit, but I've got a lot of players that are playing today, so...
Yeah.
I've got Tony as my captain, and Brentford have scored, so I hope that was him.
Ooh, doesn't look like it so far, no. Matt Markstone, still the best podcaster, ahead of Freddie from the Algerian side and Arlie from Saints Prime, and top three of... more or less the same. Bobby Brown's Magical Saints are taking quite a lead. Fucking hell, they're making quite a gap on the rest of the table. Chino Arrieta's Newcastle United and another Arrieta's Aston Villa are second and third. Fuck 'em.
Brilliant. Russian phrase this week, Kevin?
Okay, so this week's Russian phrase is knyazi v gryazi.
Is knyazi v gryazi.
Yeah, I mean, normally it's is gryazi v knyazi from zero to hero, but I've switched it around because Warprouse went from a hero to zero. So yeah, that's what that is. It literally means from a prince. Knyaz is a prince, and gryaz is dirt.
Oh wow! Is knyazi gryazi. That's really difficult. I struggle with that.
Yeah. Grammatically, it's a bit of a nightmare as well when you reverse it. But yeah. From prince to dirt.
Bit harsh, but yeah. Okay. A reminder. Yeah. If you appreciate what we do and you'd like to buy us a pint, then please head over to buymeacoffee.com/in that number. Next week, we're not here. But we'll be back to normal after the Leeds game and we'll chat about that. So until then. Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.